And if we got your week covered for the days ahead, you can take a listen to Molly Ball, staff writer who covers politics for The Atlantic, and Charlie Herman, business and economics editor for our co-producer WNYC. Hi, guys.
Good morning.
Hi.
Charlie, let's begin with the Eurozone, as we so often have over the past, say, year.
Which country should we choose today?
Let's talk about Spain.
Okay.
We won't call it a bailout then, because they object to that. But the aid that
A rose is a rose.
That's right. The aid that is going to Spain's bank could be up to 100 billion euros. Is this the beginning of a strategy that might actually work to cover the liquidity and debt crisis in Europe?
I think it's going to cover perhaps this problem in Spain at this moment. You know, already attention is starting to turn away from Spain. Great, you got this resolved. We really needed this resolved. Now let's talk about Greece. You have an election coming up this weekend. What's going to happen in Greece? Who's going to get elected? And, you know, if it is the pro-austerity party, I guess, the party that has said that they will continue out these austerity measures, then we'll go to the next week when there'll be a meeting of the EU leaders to sort of talk about what's happening in Europe and how to stop it. I mean, it's just every day, every week, there's another development and sort of another crisis. And what we're not seeing here is a really systematic way of addressing the problem. It's kind of, I've said this before, especially like during our own recession and our own financial crisis, it's a little bit like whack-a-mole, that you sort of push down the problem in one place and it pops up somewhere else. There hasn't really been a resolution. This is good news, what they did in Spain. It'll definitely stop, at least in the short term, bank runs, but it's not necessarily a resolution of the big picture.
Well, part of the big picture in Spain, of course, is that incredibly high unemployment rate of 25%.
High unemployment rate, and just sort of where, you know, even with this bailout, the prime minister has come out and said, look, the country's not going to get better anytime soon.
Right. It's going to take a long time. Well, let's talk about something that may or may not be getting better, Molly. The president said on Friday that the private sector is fine. We're taking that a little bit out of context. It was part of a larger comment, but that was immediately seized on by the Romney campaign, and this is what Romney said afterwards while he was in Iowa.
For the president of the United States to stand up and say the private sector is doing fine is going to go down in history. It's an extraordinary miscalculation and misunderstanding by a president who's out of touch, and we're going to take back this country and get America working again.
So, Molly, it's usually the Obama campaign that's claiming Romney is out of touch. Does it work politically the other way?
Well, Republicans are certainly hoping so. I think there's sort of two arguments behind why they think this comment is so damning for Obama to have said. On one level, just to say that any part of the economy is doing fine, they're saying, is unacceptable. That even if we do have growth, it's growth that's very weak. Even if private sector growth is outpacing growth or contraction, in fact, in the public sector, it shouldn't be acceptable. And so they're saying that the president is out of touch, has a sort of complacency or you know, a sense that things that are okay that Americans don't share. Americans see how high unemployment still is and how weak this growth is, and they are not satisfied, and they want someone who holds a higher standard. There's another sort of slightly more subtle argument being made as well that you hear, which is that the idea that the public sector is the problem, the idea that we're losing so many government jobs, is revealing of a sort of liberal ideological orientation that says that the way to fix the economy is for the government to hire more people. And the Republican standpoint is that that's not the way you grow the economy. It's that the private sector needs to sort of lift all the boats here.
But Charlie, let's kind of fact check the statement in and of itself. What's the difference between the private sector and the public sector in terms of who's doing fine comparatively?
I mean, I guess fine, if you comparatively, the private sector is doing better clearly than the public sector, especially when it comes to jobs. Really, the growth has been in the private sector. We've seen a real drop in hiring in the public sector. That's for a variety of reasons, you know, cutbacks in government spending at the state, federal, and local level. You look at what's happening in states like Wisconsin or other states that have had votes, you know, that have really pared down the size of unions, the pension plans that unions have. I mean, you're really sort of seeing a change in the staffing levels at the government and public sector level. So, yes, the private sector compared to the public sector is doing better. There are certain parts of the industry, the private sector industry, that are doing well. The finance sector, on the one hand, the profits are doing well, but they haven't been doing great in terms of hiring. There's been some layoffs there. There's other sectors that have been improving. We've been seeing some increase in manufacturing, but not to the levels of what they have been before.
It's difficult to turn all of that into a clear, concise political message.
But it is.
Not a bumper sticker.
No,
exactly.
No, definitely not.
Well, Molly, let's talk about CPAC. That's the Conservative Political Action Conference, and I understand you just returned from attending that in Chicago. And your newest piece talks about the selection of vice president for Mitt Romney, and they took a straw poll at CPAC to see who conservatives there were most interested in. What happened?
Well, the interesting thing to me was that Marco Rubio, the senator from Florida, who's very popular among conservative activists and who won the last CPAC vice presidential straw poll many months ago, he sort of ran away with it. And I thought that was interesting because one of the speakers at CPAC, Rubio was not there, but Chris Christie of New Jersey was there. And he sort of brought the house down. He gave this great speech. Everybody loved him. Everybody was talking about how great he was. And yet he did not win the straw poll. A lot of times what you see happen is someone blows away the audience and then they all go to their straw poll ballots. But what I got from a lot of people there was he's not anybody's number two. He's too big a personality and he would overshadow Mitt Romney, or the contrast in their styles would be too great. And so I thought it was interesting that even among the sort of conservative activists, there's this sort of conventional wisdom that you also hear sort of inside the Beltway, which is that Romney needs a safe choice. Romney needs someone who's not going to make him look small by comparison or threaten to distract from his focus on the president.
Well, he shouldn't choose Rubio, because here's Rubio's answer.
Yeah, I don't want to be the vice president right now. And
if Mitt Romney asks, you will say no.
Yes.
That is Rubio speaking to ABC. So straw poll or not, Rubio is a big no.
Is that no for real?
And Christie makes everyone look small, who's next to him anyway. Right?
Oh, come on.
True. See, I tried to avoid going there.
I go there.
All right. Well, we only have about a minute left, Charlie, but let's talk about the Senate hearings on the trading losses at J.P. Morgan. Jamie Dimon is going to testify. What are we expecting to hear from him?
You know, I think maybe some fireworks, but not necessarily a lot more details about what happened. I mean, they're still trying to figure a lot of that out. I think we'll get more details when they release them to investors when it comes time for their second quarter earnings in the next couple of weeks. You know, he's probably going to defend his positions that he's had on the regulations.
That we don't need regulations.
We need some, but let's, you know, not limit it too much. And also the fact that, you know, we have a healthy bank, and yes, we took this loss and we feel very bad, but I really don't think you're going to get necessarily a lot out of it other than people perhaps attacking him and him defending himself. And it'll be interesting to see how the Republicans and Democrats go about doing that.
Charlie Herriman, business and economics editor for WNYC, our co-producer, and Molly Ball, staff writer covering politics for The Atlantic. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's your agenda.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.